this resurrection is the cornerstone of your faith and my faith. Amen? It is the reason that we have hope. We're not just remembering a historical event, David. We are talking about a risen Savior. We are celebrating the reality right here.
What does God invite us to do? You know, we use the term invitation, but what does that really mean? What is God inviting us to do? Well, you could probably come up with several answers, but let me just mention two. God invites us to become His children. So as we witnessed last week, when Kimberly came forward, God invites us to join Him in His family by professing our belief and our faith in God. So that is one kind of invitation, and when people come forward, sometimes they're coming forward to be baptized. Another invitation God provides us is to cast our anxieties and our cares on Him. And again, last week we witnessed two of our women that came forward at second service asking for prayers and asking for help in their Christian walk, because we're casting our anxieties on God. And through prayer, we're asking God to help us through that along with our brothers and sisters. So as you're thinking about the Lord's invitation, I want us to focus our minds on the reason we have these opportunities in the first place. So I'm going to read from Romans 6, beginning in verse 3. And so Paul writes, "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we will certainly also be united with Him in a resurrection like His. For we know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, and that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over Him. The death He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." So this coming week, we're going to be celebrating our freedom. And this country was founded on the principles of freedom. Freedom from tyranny, freedom from oppression, from foreign powers. But what is real freedom? Real freedom is being free from the burden of sin. Amen? Because Jesus took away our sins, we experience the freedom to follow Him without fear. If you want to be baptized, or if you want the prayers of the church, just come here to the center of the auditorium now as we're singing, or you can come at the end of service. Let's sing.
We gather here in Jesus' name. His love is burning in our hearts like living flame. For through the loving Son, the Father makes us one. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. No one is a stranger here. Everyone belongs. Pardon and forgiveness here. We in turn forgive all wrongs. He joins us here. He breaks the bread. The Lord pours the cup, is risen from the dead. The one we love and most is now our gracious host. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share.
I know that a few minutes ago, John said that we were not going to have a sermon. However, there's going to be several little short talks about what we're focusing on entirely this morning. Yes, we're singing and praying, but we're focusing on the Lord's Supper. We all prepare for things that we find to be important in life. And the more important they are, the more we tend to prepare for those things. Well, there's nothing we do that's more important than what we're about to do and what we do every week, and that's have a communion together and participate in the Lord's Supper. Amen. So there are some ideas that we want to share with you about things that one might consider doing, starting to do as they prepare each week ahead of time for the Lord's Supper. And the first thing we'll mention is to look back. Looking back and remembering Jesus and his ultimate sacrifice, I think quite often people at table talk about the fact that he became a man, he lived among us, he taught us how to live, he was scourged, he was badly treated and unjustly crucified through no fault of his own, through our faults, that we might have forgiveness. So we need to look back and remember Jesus' sacrifice. But in addition to that, we should look inward. Before we partake in this feast together, we should examine our hearts, searching for places where we may be following our own desires rather than God's way. This involves taking inventory of our life to see if we've disobeyed God in words, thoughts, or actions, or if we've done or not done what God has told us to do. Psalm 139 verses 25 and 26 could be used as a prayer, but certainly we can say, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there's any grievous way in me, and lead me in a way everlasting." While such introspection should be done on a regular basis and probably every day, there's also a place for more deep and thorough reflection prior to us coming together for communion. We're also instructed in the New Testament to look around prior to our taking of the communion together and to clear any issues that we have with our spiritual family. So the first thing to think about in that respect is to reconcile with those who you have sinned against. During this time of examination, we may reveal that we need to reconcile with someone that we've sinned against. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "So if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." Jesus says, if you've done something against them, you're called to make it right, not wait on them to point it out to you or confront you. Therefore, not only should we confess our sins to God in preparation to receive communion, but we should also confess and ask for forgiveness from others whom we might have sinned against. Likewise, we need to forgive those who've sinned against us. We're also called to forgive those who've sinned against us because Jesus teaches in the Sermon on the Mount, as he says in the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." In order to experience the promise of forgiveness of sins from God, "This is my cup, the blood of the covenant, which is poured out to many for forgiveness of sins," we must forgive others. So consider, whom must you forgive this week? And finally, we need to seek unity. One of the issues Paul rebukes the Corinthian church about was during their practice of communion was the existence of divisions among the church. And we learn more about that in 1 Corinthians 11, 18, and 19. The existence of such divisions is especially unfitting at a time as this. It's meant to be a time of unity, something shown both in the name and in the fact as we partake of one loaf and the same elements. Preparing for communion should cause us to think about whether divisions exist within our church body and if we are letting those differences get in the way of standing united in Christ. If you see disunity, how can we rectify it? Perhaps it's through seeking reconciliation or offering forgiveness, focusing on things that unite us, recognizing that areas of disagreement are relatively minor and should not threaten our relationships and our commonality with Jesus. In these times of such strong division in our world, are we coming to communion in a spirit of unity with our fellow believers? And finally, we have to look forward. We need to prepare to proclaim the death, the burial, and the resurrection consistently until we join him or he comes again. So in summary, communion is much more than just a piece of bread and a little cup of juice or wine at the end or in the middle of a service. It's a powerful sign and seal of God's love for us, shown in the person and work of Jesus. May we be prepared to celebrate this truth this week by searching our hearts, by asking for forgiveness, by forgiving others, by seeking unity with fellow believers, and then expecting Jesus to nourish us during this holy time.
One day they nailed him to die on the tree, suffering anguish, despised and rejected. Bearing our sins, thy Redeemer is he. Living he loved me, dying he saved me. Buried he buried, my sins far away. Rising he justified,
About to join together in observing what we call the Lord's Supper, I'd like to read a passage that Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. And it's in 1 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 23, and he's speaking to them about observing the Lord's Supper. It says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself." The time in worship where we observe the Lord's Supper is a very special time in that we are focusing our thoughts on the great gift God gave us, his Son. That his Son was willing to come, to live on this earth, to be the example we need, to teach, and then be willing to die a horrible death on a cross, to shed his blood for us, and to be our Savior. It's hard, I think, sometimes for us to comprehend how much love that was. We love a lot of people. We loved our parents loved us. We love our spouses if we have any. We love our children if we have any. We love one another in this place. And yet that love pales, I think, compared to the love of God and the love of Jesus. And so as we partake this morning of these emblems, I hope we can think how much God loved us. As it says, "For God so loved the world." That's you. You. Me. That he gave his only Son to come and die for us. Let's bow together and offer a prayer for the bread that represents his body. Father, I pray you'll help us to understand more about the great gift of love you gave your Son. The love that he showed to us in that he was willing to be crucified for us, that we might have hope of glory with you. We pray as we're about to partake of this emblem that represents that broken body, we pray we will do it in a way that's right in your sight, and we pray that you will bless us for it through Jesus. Amen. As Jesus was hanging on the cross and was being mistreated in so many ways and being abused, which led to his death, it was blood that was shed for us. Some of you probably give blood, go to the blood bank, they go through the procedures, they take out a pint of blood, and that blood is then used to help others. And that's a very good thing to do if you can do it and if you want to do it, to help others with using your blood. And in a similar way, it is the blood of Jesus that allows us to have salvation, have hope of glory with him and God. And we need to realize he gave his blood literally that we might live. Let's bow together and pray for the fruit of the vine, as we call it. Father, we do thank you that you were willing to make it possible for us to have salvation through the death and burial and resurrection, for the shedding of the blood that Jesus was willing to do for us. And Father, help us to appreciate it more every day. And I pray that as we're partaking in this Lord's Supper, that what we're doing is right in your sight. We pray you'll give us strength from it through Jesus. Amen. Speaking of giving, this is the time we typically give back a part of what God has given us. We have boxes on the way out and a box over there. Some of you are savvy enough to do it online, and that's another option. But there's no way we can give God what he deserves. I haven't got enough money yet. And yet, God wants us to give. And the real part of it, I think, is he wants you and me to give ourselves. And if and when we do that, we can give monetarily, we can give of our talents and our energy, we can give to help others. So giving was an example that Jesus gave us. And we need to find ways we can give back to God, and particularly in a monetary way. It takes money to do the things we're trying to do to serve the Lord. So let's bow together and offer a prayer for that as well. Father, we can't outgive you because you give us life. And yet, as we think about this time where we're focused on giving back to you, I pray that the money that's being given, in whatever manner, it can be used to do your will. It can be used in ways that are right in your sight. And I'm thankful that we have been given much. And we pray that as we've been given much, we will take care of that and give back to you what we should. And we thank you for the greatest gift of all, Jesus, and we pray through him. Amen. Really?
This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my
church this morning. I hope that you have plugged into the power of communion. I hope that you've been made to feel uneasy. We had challenged ourselves today to focus on the Lord and not on the stage. It was intentional for the purpose of giving us the opportunity to do our communing together, to do our praising and our praying by communing and looking. I've seen people this morning that I never see their front of their face. I see the side. And I already apologize to the winds behind me for all the glare that they're having to put up with. But the Lord has been here. The Spirit this morning has moved us together, and I hope it's been an effectively powerful time for you to look and to feel what our Lord Jesus Christ did when He gave us His life on that cross. Didn't have to, likely, we know. It was essential for what? For our salvation, for our to have hope of that place. What were you thinking about this morning when you heard Chris prepare us so well for where we could have things that we could be doing as participants? Where were you? What were you thinking when Monty led us through partaking of the emblems? Well, I'll tell you where I was. I was celebrating. What do you mean you're celebrating? Well, I'll tell you. I was celebrating the anticipation of the great day coming, when we're going to be face to face with Lord Jesus. That's what it's all about. We have the hope, thanks to the Savior that died for us on Calvary. Won't that be a great time of celebration? Well, in Revelation 21:7, show it up there, Joel. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, nor mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things have passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I'm making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It's done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be our children." Church, this is talking about you and me. Amen? This is a painting of a picture where we will have life eternal. And for that is a celebration. Go over there, Joel, please, to the next one. And it's in the book of Luke. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified on the third day, and be raised again." This reading, this resurrection is the cornerstone of your faith and my faith. Amen? It is the reason that we have hope. We're not just remembering a historical event, David. We are talking about a risen Savior. We are celebrating the reality right here. Yep, we're faced with challenges. Yep, we got a terrible world out there. But church, like nobody else, we got hope. And that's what we're celebrating today, making you feel uneasy, is that you can look one another in the eye and you can feel closer if you want to let yourself do that. We were intentional about having this celebration so that we could face each other and acknowledge our hope in Christ. Please do that today. This is a fantastic, wonderful celebration of what we have and the future that is ours in a home in heaven with the Lord and our God. Amen.
Preach on, brother.
We've got one more song, and we will stand for it. But you noticed in your program that some of the songs were to be led by me, some of the songs were to be led by Sean, and some of the songs were to be led by Jason. Well, Sean was here for the first service, and he led his songs. Jason can't be with us this morning. Late yesterday evening, we got a text that his mother had fallen. His mother is also Steve Dumas's sister. That his mother had fallen and broken her femur up close to the hip. Very serious break. And Steve told me right before we began that she's in surgery right now. And Jason asked us to pray for him and pray for her. And we need to be remembering that as we go through our prayer life today. When I was a kid, the one thing I got in trouble more for in church was for turning around and looking at people. My mother would poke me. I got taken out a few times, not in a good way. Well, Mom, I'm sorry, but on this last song, I want you to turn around. I want you to look at each other. I want you to make eye contact with each other. The scripture calls for us to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And I want us to do that with each other while we're singing this last song. Let's stand, please.
We are one in the Spirit.
We are one in the Lord.
We are one in the Spirit.
We are one with the Lord.
And we pray that our unity may one day be restored. And we'll know we are Christians.
Us together. Thank you for giving us the hope. Thank you for giving us your Son. Father, we are trying to be all we can be for you. Help us be better. Help us to bring joy and encouragement to folks that don't know you. Father, we need you. We want you, and we welcome you. Father, I ask that you would be with Jason's mom. May our sister Ramirez feel that she's being cared for because you are there with her. Father, be with the docs as they are working right now, and please, God, bring relief, bring wellness and healing to Gail. We also have our sister Shirley Cook down in Zephyr Hills Hospital. Father, I ask that you would let her feel your presence, and that the doctors that are caring for her will do their skill well, and that you would bless healing. Father, may we be Christians that you want us to be. May you continue to bring those who seek to know you to us. Father, give us every courage, every blessing that can come only from you. And may we do one thing also, that's to give you the glory. Father God, in Jesus' name I pray, amen.